You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody out there in podcast land. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Dangerous Donald.
And I'm Ice Chris.
Ice Chris. That's nice. I like that.
Ice cold. Ice cold Chris.
Yes. And I'm just dangerous. I don't know. This was just made up at the spur of the moment.
What would your call name be?
If I had to choose one. The Eliminator, maybe? I don't know.
I'd probably be like Whaleman.
Whaleman,
yeah.
the whale.
We got the whale.
Yeah, whale and the Eliminator. Or Eliminator.
Call me Ishmael.
I think it's very 80s for us, because we're talking about 80s right now. We're talking about, we're talking about Top Gun, and we're kind of comparing elements of that to the new movie, Top Gun Maverick. And this is a movie 36 years in the making, guys. 36 goddamn years. Has anybody ever known any film to have a sequel 36 years later and it actually be good?
Ghostbusters?
No, I don't think Ghostbusters were 36 years later for a sequel, because we had Ghostbusters 2 pretty early. I'm talking about, like, the next sequel. Like, Top Gun
didn't... Well, yeah, but I mean, it was Ghostbusters Afterlife. Wasn't that, like, 30-something years after Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah, it was quite a bit of time, I believe. I don't know how many years in between, but yeah. But we did get a misfire in that realm, and that was the all-female-led Ghostbusters film that... did okay, but wasn't a huge success for them. So they decided to try to reboot yet again with the franchise, which is understandable, I guess. If you're not making the money that you want, you have to, you know, move forward and kind of rethink your ink, so to speak. As Chris Farley would so eloquently say, "I gotta rethink my ink." And that is a Beverly Hills Ninja reference for those that don't know. Anyway, we're talking about these two films because we want to kind of compare them, and we want to see or find out what each other thought and what you as the audience member thought as well. So feel free to leave us a comment, give us a like if you like the podcast, whatever you want to do, so we can kind of get a little bit more interaction with our audience, in other words. So we want to know, you know, what you guys think as well. So Chris, we briefly talked, and I think from what you were, the way you were acting, it seemed like you enjoyed Top Gun Maverick. Is that the case?
I did. I had very little expectation going into this movie. I did not rewatch the first movie because I wanted to go in to see how well of a movie it was on its own compared, like, not comparing it to the first one. Like, I knew parts of the first one, I knew the ultimate demise of Goose, and I knew the whole thing with Iceman and Maverick, and you know how it ends and all that stuff, the dogfight at the end and stuff. But other than that, and then I remembered that that there was a love interest that was replaced, but I didn't remember much else. I wanted to see how much as its own movie it could stand up to, so I deliberately went in without rewatching it. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a good time. I felt excited about what was happening. That first like training montage that they have, super exciting, super loud and fast. The ending, the third act, very, very good. And I definitely felt myself, my heart was, you know, fasting, you know, was beating faster, and I was feeling a little on the edge of my seat, and the audience really got into it. The audience was really, really, like, at that point, you look around, see a lot of people, they're like sitting up straight at the edge of their seat. It was great experience. I think it was one of the better audience experiences that I've had. I'd say way better than Doctor Strange. Probably the best audience experience I've had since Spider-Man. So Spider-Man in the last Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, and that would be the one that came out, what, November, December of last year, that Spider-Man film.
So very, very fun. Very, I had a wonderful time, and it exceeded all my expectations. I think it was better than the first one.
Wow, that's saying something. The film made so far, I think it's like let's just talk about its opening weekend. Its opening weekend, it had made $134 million, somewhere around there. And it's going to go on, of course, you know, it's gone on to more success. So it's going to go on to more success. They said that it showed that a box office hit doesn't have to be a comic book film. And we're, you know, as an audience member, you're like, duh, you know, it just needs to be good. It just needs to be fun enough to bring us into the film. And I feel like this did that. And it did that because a lot of people were curious, how do you make a film successful after, you know, a 36-year hiatus? Obviously, the script, that's the big one. You know, if the script sucked, people wouldn't go to see it. They'd be like, oh, it's a sequel and it's terrible. Okay, yeah, I'm good. But to hear, here's a sequel that took this long to make. It has most of the original cast and it's amazing. Yeah, I think I'm all in on that.
Yeah,
You know, we don't want to give too many spoilers away, I guess, on this, because, you know, we're pretty close to it being open and stuff. But and some people may or may not have seen it. But I feel like this one did hit a lot of those emotional strides that needed to be hit. It led us through a little bit of Tom Cruise's, his character's past, Maverick's past, and his love life relationships, his relationship with as we know from the trailer, anybody knows this, with Goose's son,
who in my opinion looked just like Goose. He looked identical.
Yeah, they did a really good job. A really good job. Like I was super happy with the way they made Miles Teller look. You know, even with like the Hawaiian shirt, the glasses, the mustache, that played off really, really well. So I was super happy about that. I think that that everybody that's a part of this film probably felt the same way. And I think that all the audience members probably saw that and was like, wow, he does look like Goose. So yeah, our hats off to that for the casting. I felt the cast was really sharp, you know, and bringing in Val Kilmer as part of it. And again, we saw that in the trailer, we saw the picture and stuff, was very heartfelt. And the things that take place in the film are very heartfelt with Val and very enjoyable in general. So it was just all the way around. It was a really fun film. Now, you think that this second film, Maverick, is better than the first film. Am I correct?
Yes. I mean, partly is because a couple things. If this had been a hokey script and it would have been like cliche Tom Cruise movie, yes, spoilers, we get a little Tom Cruise running, but it's one like 5-second scene. Otherwise, it wasn't an action. It wasn't like a Tom Cruise action flick. It was a good dramatic film. I laughed, I cried, I cheered, some really heartfelt moments. Like I was really invested in this film more so than I feel the first one. And it could have been because I was also like 5 years old when the movie came out.
Yeah.
And I was probably 15 when I saw it again and could actually understand it. But I don't know. I just think the writing is better. I think Jennifer Connelly plays a better love interest. And also, that could be bias.
Now we can dive a little bit, I think, more into it. So here's where the spoilers come in, guys. So if you haven't seen it yet, you might want to cut out on this one. But let's talk about Jennifer Connelly's character. She played, what was that, the major's daughter, the general's daughter?
Mm-hmm.
In this one. And we never saw her in the first film. They just mentioned her multiple times. One of those times was at the bar when Goose was playing the piano, which is funny because Rooster is Goose's son, and he plays the piano in the sequel. So it's kind of that throwback to that sentimentality. And Maverick sees that, and he, you know, he's very much stuck in the past when it comes to Goose and how he lives his life. And he still hasn't gone past the role of captain because he just doesn't want to get past that role. He wants to be stuck kind of there. I think that's his penance, that's his punishment, and he just does likes what he does. But we do get to kind of see the mention of this lady, played by Jennifer Connelly, this character, when they're in this bar and they kind of haphazardly mention the daughter and, you know, how that turned out. So we know there's a sordid history there. We're like, oh no, oops, you know, that's not good. So we get to that and we get to understand a little bit more of this tumultuous relationship between Maverick and her, and will or they or won't they? And, you know, you can tell he's trying to work on that right away. You know, Maverick, even in the original film, of course, he was kind of a dog when it came to that kind of thing, particularly women. And he shows that not much has changed in that aspect. He kind of immediately gravitates towards her when he's back in town. So I thought that was fun to see. Getting on with the relationship with Iceman, him and Ice. Ice kind of being his protector later in life, you know, and keeping him in the military, I thought was very sweet and very, sentimental towards the audience. And, you know, we learned that that Iceman had a condition, some form of cancer, and he had fought it off and apparently had come back. And now he's dealing with the ramifications of that and how he's handling it. And we get to see him on screen. And I thought he did a hell of a job, you know, Kilmore, for what little he did or had to work with, how he was able to give you all those feelings in such a little piece. I thought it was really well done. What'd you think? Did you?
Yeah, I know, too. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really, that moment really took the moment later on, the ramifications of all that really made that more powerful to me. And it also, I feel, also helped propel the biggest thing for this movie that the last one didn't, was character development with the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Maverick kind of just stays Maverick through the whole thing, and he kind of succeeds by being Maverick. But yeah, he's kind of a Maverick in here, and it causes kind of the third act to happen, but there's still character development there, and he becomes Maverick because he's Maverick in this one because of character development.
Yeah. Well, they show that. They show that character development in the fathership type role that he picks up.
Yeah, exactly.
And taking care of Rooster and trying to make sure that Goose's son is safe and taken care of. Like when we find out that he had gotten him held back out of the academy for 4 years because Maverick didn't think he was ready. You know, he thought that he was too immature or just not ready to. Plus, I don't think Maverick was ready either. It was too soon for him. So, you know, instantly, that's what Rooster wants. He wants to be in the academy. He wants to be a fighter jet pilot. And, you know, it's like, oh, really? You know what happened to your dad? But okay. So being stuck in the past with what happened with Goose, Maverick is very much in this fatherly type role, whether Rooster likes that or not. And you feel that there's this tension immediately when they meet on set, like, or on the film. There's this tension in the wing, where they're meeting for the first time, when they find out that Maverick's going to be their teacher. He's going to be showing them the way, basically. It's funny because they're having to do this impossible run in the plane in order to destroy, launch a bomb down this air duct or something. It's very much Star Wars. I could see
it. It is.
It's like, okay, so can they make this run in this amount of time? And they have very little wiggle room in between, and they got to keep low so that, you know, they're not getting hit by missiles. And then there's another plane that comes in that tries to chase them around. And it's like very, very much borrowed from the idea from Star Wars with that, which I got a tickle out of personally.
I definitely was hoping. I was definitely waiting for a moment where like Maverick let slip. I got this idea from Star Wars or something, because it was like 100%. Attacking the Death Star. I was like, the second he said it, I was like, it's the Death Star.
Right. Yeah. Actually, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the air duct dropping the bomb down in that couldn't be more Star Wars-esque.
And Miles Teller having to, having to shoot the thing without any kind of radar. It, like,
Yeah.
Like the Forrest moment right there.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. 100% the Forrest movement or moment. And it's funny because this film for me, it really caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did, because honestly, I've only ever seen the first film once. And then I rewatched it right before I went to go see Maverick. And I was like, it's okay. But it's like really stuck in its time. I was like, it's really kind of cheesy. The volleyball scene in the original is really cheesy. And they even like do a tip of the hat to that. They even do that where the guys have their shirts off again. And only this time they're playing football. They're not playing ball.
Dogfight football, I think they called it.
Yeah, yeah.
Offense and defense at the same time.
Kind of crazy. But hey, you know, whatever works. And it worked for the film because it really did harken back to the old days. Now, had they done it in another film for no reason whatsoever, you'd be like, what the hell? Like, what is this shit? You know, especially now. But because it did that prior, it could get away with it. And that worked well. And I enjoyed that. As far as the two are concerned now, when you originally, how old do you think you were? You said you were probably 5 or 6 when you watched it.
Well, if it was made 35 years ago, I was, 5 or 6 years old.
And did you watch it originally when it came out, like around the time when it came out?
I'm sure I did. I'm sure my parents probably rented it on video and we watched it together. I remember seeing it old, like when I was older in age. But definitely see it was on TV all the time.
Now, I see that this was Tom Cruise's largest opening for a film, weekend opening ever, which is kind of insane because he's Mission Impossible, you know? He's Ethan Hunt. He's Mr. Mission Impossible. And I don't understand that how this is his number, like his highest grossing opening weekend of all time. It just drives, like blows my mind as long as he's been in the business.
I have a theory for this. I think it's the fact that we've known about this movie for 2.5 years. And so the anticipation has been building and building and building and building and building. COVID, even though it was such a horrible thing, was the best thing that ever happened to this movie.
Possibly that.
2 years to like advertise for this movie to come out.
I think possibly that and a combination of it didn't have much competition in the box office.
Yeah, really.
So, which also is probably due to COVID. You know, a lot of films aren't finished or ready, or they just didn't want to put them out at this time because they were unsure of whether it would make enough money. So Paramount was very smart in waiting to release this film. They were going to do it in November of last year, but I think that this was the right choice. Memorial Day weekend is a very – now a lot of people are like, well, why not 4th of July? Well, Memorial Day is very patriotic as well. So – you know, I think this was a really good time to release the film. The only other competition that I know of that was released was Bob's Burgers. And that's
a completely different
demographic. So you're not really fighting each other there. You know, it was kind of a shared screening. So I'm curious to see how that turns out in the long run for Bob's Burgers. But we know right now that it's turned out very well for Top Gun Maverick. Very, very well. As far as your favorite roles of Tom Cruise's, though, how does this one rank? Is this up there really high, or?
No, I mean, Tom Cruise is probably the thing I still like least about the movie.
Okay.
I mean, not that I didn't dislike his character, but I liked Miles Teller. I loved Jennifer Connelly. I loved seeing Val. I miss seeing him on screen. So Tom Cruise was like number 4 on the list for me in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, number 1 still got to be Top of Thunder, of course.
Watched also over the weekend. I watched Tropic Thunder, oddly enough. And I'd forgotten that Tom Cruise was in that. He was great. He was hamming it up. Even in the credits, he's hamming it up. He's like doing this dance while they're playing the credits and shit. And I was like, wow, this is fun, Tom. Why didn't we see like a spinoff of this character in a film? Like, I don't know. I don't know why it didn't happen. We didn't get a sequel and we didn't get a spinoff in that film. And I have no idea why.
But I really like Jerry Maguire. I really like him in Jerry Maguire. People say, would you want the movie? But I really like that movie. Oh, man. I really like him in that. So,
okay. So I went to a screening. I can't remember what movie it was or what show, but we went to the Silent Movie Theater, which was in Hollywood, West Hollywood area. And it's a storied movie theater. I mean, it's been around for ages. They call it the Silent Movie Theater for a reason. They have the original seats where they would wire them up for buzzing and things, you know, if you watched a horror film or something, you know, they had that kind of stuff set up back in the day. And they have like a little courtyard area out in the back. So they just so happened to get in a display, which was created using Jerry Maguire VHS tapes. Somebody had acquired a large, apparently that was like one of the last VHS tapes that they created like in mass production. And somebody acquired a huge lot of them and used it to create an entire kingdom of Jerry Maguire cassette tape or like VHS tapes. And they made a throne out of Jerry Maguire tapes with all Jerry Maguire background. And then they made a Pope hat out of Jerry Maguire tapes. So you could go in the back and take your picture. So I have a picture of me sitting on my Jerry Maguire throne wearing my Jerry Maguire Pope hat with Jerry Maguire all in the background. And I'm like, ha ha ha, I ruled over this kingdom of Tom Cruise.
That sounds amazing.
It was quite ridiculous, but a lot of fun also. And the silent movie theater was always known for that kind of thing, doing these ridiculous fun little things like that in their backyard area, which I always appreciated. You know, there's always that little extra oomph that kind of brought it over and made it a destination place, not just a place that you saw a film, you know, more interactive, in other words.
So if you had to give this movie a grade from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, what would you give it?
I'd say 7 to 7.5. And that's because I felt it got a little slow in the middle, a little sluggish for me, and I wasn't feeling that part. But overall, I thought it was a really good film, really solid film. So I would say, you know, probably 7.5, let's say, is what I would give it. What about you?
I'd go a little higher. I'd give it an 8.5 because I understand what you're talking about with the slow part. However, I saw a lot of internal stuff happening in that point with the character, and that's where all the character development came in with the character. Mm-hmm. And I really saw the struggle that he was going through in that section. And I feel if the script wasn't as good as it was, it was more clunky. Or, I mean, Tom Cruise does probably some of his better acting I've seen him do in a long time in this movie. And I think if he had just been hamming it in and not doing like taking it seriously and going all out on this, I feel like it would have been more slow. And so I think, but it's not for everybody. As you know, somebody who really likes exploring like the inner acting, that type of thing. For me, it was really entertaining and intriguing and interesting to watch. Watching him like have this struggle to help grow into, like I said, with the whole stuff with Iceman and all that stuff that was in that area, and all that stuff that happens, and then the whole relationship and all that. And it was all leading towards something, and it wasn't ever like, oh, well, this was it. It was always like, oh, okay. And I was going with it. I was going with the journey. It was not perfect. You know, very few movies are. There's only been two this year that's been perfect. It's not, but, you know, 8.5 is what I give it.
Okay. Now, I know we got to wrap this up, but I want to briefly mention that those that do, you know, end up going to see it, you are treated to a hell of an ending. That third act is just riveting. It's just filled with action.
Yeah.
And there does it does create this family dynamic then between Maverick and Rooster that I think the audience needed and the character needed. And one thing I will say about Tom is it's good to see Tom Cruise rediscover his charm. Rediscover his bit of humor. Like Tom has always been very charismatic in that way. He can be very humorous at times and very charming. And it seemed like he had forgotten that over the years, particularly with just doing certain action films and stuff a lot and not a lot of other things. So it was good to see a little bit more drama put back into the role of this character that he was able to play and bring some of that forward. And I appreciated that and recognized that. But yeah, so I think we're going to call it here, I think. So thank you very much for listening, guys. Chris, any last words before I kill you? Oh, wait, no, I mean, just last words on the film.
Don't think, just do.
Okay, don't think, just do. That's good. A motto. That's a good philosophy. Wait, no, it's not. That's a bad philosophy. Don't listen to that if you're driving, especially. That's really dumb. Anyway, I'm Donald.
And I'm Chris.
And we want to thank you for being here. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
someplace. At the comic book shop.
Yes, that's it. That's correct. Yes. You win the prize. Good night, everybody.
Yay!
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.